It's good to see you all here. Anybody got rained on this morning? Oh, we were. Oh, you, Claire, you're the blessed one. The rest of us kept dry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you, to lift up the name of Jesus. As we think about the fact that you are alive, you were dead, but then you were resurrected. You came to life, and you're alive in heaven, and by your Spirit, you're present here now. Lord, help us to hear this word and to receive it deep into our hearts. Build our whole lives upon this truth. Help us to worship you because of this truth. Jesus, you are alive. Amen. Right, a couple of notices, some quite important notices. We can clear them off the screen now, Hayley, if we can. Thank you. Firstly, food. Hungry Hearts bring and share lunch today. If you'd like to eat lunch with others rather than on your own, do come and stay after the service. Usually the last Sunday of every month, Hungry Hearts Lunch Club meets in the Crossing Centre after coffee. To eat together, to share together. So that's what's happening this week, so do come along if you can. We do need some extra people to help with serving coffee and refreshments after the service. Debbie's done a nice form for us, which is really nice, a nice rota, but it needs people's names on it, particularly, as we said, because a number of the people who previously served on it are now working in other ways, and we need to release those people to do other things. So if you think, yes, I could serve teas and coffees, do the washing up, that sort of thing, do please sign up. That'd be great. An important notice about the church meeting. We have a church members meeting this coming Tuesday. I said to the deacons a little while ago, I'd like us to have the capacity to put an extra meeting in, because we might need it. And we need it for two reasons. Firstly, there's going to be an update on Debbie's situation, and there's a particular proposal that we're going to be bringing to that meeting. So we need you to be there so we can discern together the mind of Christ and make a decision together. And also, we need to vote for a deacon who got left out. Now, Jones, she's not here, so she can't be embarrassed. It's not her fault. We missed, all of us as a church, the fact that she should have come back for re-election, reappointment, at the AGM, the same time as Andrew and Andrew. So we appointed Andrew and Andrew, but we didn't appoint Joan because nobody asked. So we're going to now retrospectively put a proposal forward that we appoint Joan for a term of 3 years, starting at the same time. So that will be going to the church meeting on Tuesday. So again, do come, because we really want Joan to be appointed as a deacon. She's such a blessing to us. Just to let you know about the thank offering, thank you very much for what you have given so far. I understand from Andrew that a figure of £1,800 has been given, which is great. That's going to Dementia UK and RNLI. If you haven't yet given to the thank offering and you want to do so, there are these little envelopes on the table outside. And if you put something in here, that will go to the thank offering. We'll be taking up our offering after our time of worship at the beginning of the service, as we normally do. So if you think, yes, I'd like to do that, then at some point during the worship, zoom out and pick up one of those envelopes and you can put that in there. Lastly, if you haven't received it by email, the program for the church meeting on Tuesday is on the What's Happening notice sheet. There are copies of the What's Happening notice sheets outside. And I know, because at the moment the way I'm doing these emails is not a very sophisticated way, some people end up in junk. Joan tells me that my emails to the whole church end up in junk. So if you haven't got the What's Happening and the program for the church meeting, check your junk folder and you'll probably find it lying around in there. For those of you who don't have a junk folder, you are blessed. You are free from such worries. Today's theme for the message that David Boris is going to be bringing us, and which the children are going to be doing something related to, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And David said to me, it's a certain hope. It's a certain hope. I just want to read some verses from the first letter of Peter that we read at Wednesday worship this week. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Through Jesus, because of his resurrection, it is possible for us to have a living hope now and for eternity. In our worship, we will be praising Jesus, and these thoughts you'll see reflected in the songs that Leslie's chosen for us. And as usual in our time of worship, feel free to sit or to stand. And if God gives you a scripture or a prayer, speak it out loud so that we can say amen. And I do give a welcome to those who are watching at home or listening on the computers later on in the week. We are all welcome together to worship. Still getting used to this technology, this mic stuff. In the darkness, we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes. If you're in darkness today, if you need hope today, or you know someone else who's in that situation, let's take comfort from what we are hearing today.
Stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death.
Ascended one, you're the glorified one. We declare our praise. of you in your glory. We cannot see you with our human eyes, but we see you through the eyes of faith, knowing that you are Lord, you are in charge, your name is above every other name. One day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, that you are God. Thank you for the privilege you give us today of declaring what is true in advance of that day. Joining with all the company of heaven and with millions of brothers and sisters across the world, we give you praise. God of glory, we exalt your name.
Transcends everything that we could ever hope or wish for. And even though sometimes, Lord, we may leave you, you will never leave us.
Thank you, Lord.
You're there permanently for us, Lord, with your love. A love that
Thank you, Lord.
Knows no end.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Just
we just
you.
Praise you, Jesus, that you are risen.
Yeah.
You have overcome sin and death and pain.
Yeah.
And we are sorry. We repent, Lord, for where we have not allowed you to be Lord of our lives. Lord, we're sorry and we turn to you and we just pray. Bring us closer to you, Lord, that we may serve you in your glorious kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you. There is always forgiveness through the cross. No matter what we've said and done, however long we've spent apart from you, we just can come back at any time. Lord, you know our hearts. You've heard that word that was brought to us just now. And we've heard that word. Thank you for your forgiveness and grace. That means you pick us up, you kiss us better, and you say, right, go, run, thrive, live. Jesus, you said the enemy came to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come life and life in abundance, to give life and life in abundance. Lord, we receive your gift of abundant life this morning, and we give you praise and glory for it. Amen. It would be good for us to take up our offering now for those who have come prepared for that. If you haven't, don't worry. This is just an opportunity to express our thanks to God in a material way. Thank you for your wonderful generosity to us, that you've given us everything in Jesus. We thank you for these gifts here and now, that you enable us to play our part in the work of your kingdom. Multiply them, spread them abroad, that many will come to know of your love. Amen. Right. So children, I'm going to come down your end to the children's place, the fun place. Today, you're going to be hearing readings about Jesus rising from the dead. And so David is going to be bringing us the message, and Rowena, his good lady, has done an activity for you that you might enjoy doing. I think you might enjoy doing this. It says here, can you draw a picture of Jesus outside the empty tomb? Create a beautiful garden around the tomb. So this is the space here to show Jesus risen from the dead, which you're going to be hearing about in a moment. And to do a garden. A beautiful... Who's got garden? Who's got flowers at their home? Yes. Are they looking beautiful at the moment? Yes. So, take inspiration for what's around you. So, those are there. Also, if you've done that and think, I need some more. These cards are here, the usual cards we have. There's another picture you could draw of Jesus in heaven. And I've got a secret for you. Nobody knows what it looks like in heaven. Not really. So, you can do what you like. Okay? So, on earth... Jesus rising outside the tomb and in heaven. All right, so that's the choice this morning. Right, Richard, do you want to come up, please, because you're doing a reading? Right, this is good. So we're going to pray. Father, I thank you for the word that Valerie's going to be reading, that Richard's going to be reading, and that David is going to speak about, expound, help us to understand and to inspire us. We pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will make your word come alive, that it may change us, transform us, to be more like Jesus and to be more sure of the hope that you've given us. Amen.
This morning, we are continuing our series on 1 Corinthians, and we come to that wonderful chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which summarizes the certain core of our faith, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, or the good news, on which we, both as individuals and as a church, we have taken our stand. So let's consider four main points. The first one, the historical reality of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, the vital importance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, the nature of our resurrected bodies. And fourthly, the consequences for us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So let's now read a section from the passage we're looking at now. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Thank you.
Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born.
And then verses 12 to 18. Richard, thank you.
But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost, if only for this life we have hope in Christ. We are of all people most to be pitied.
And Richard. So let's first of all then consider the historical reality of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It is this historical fact, called the best attested fact in history, that we should build our faith on. Feelings and experiences can come and go, but this fact remains unshakable. When I was preparing to get baptized, the minister asked me, "Why are you a Christian?" I explained how I had various experiences of God. However, he replied, "You are not a Christian just because of your experiences, but because of the fact the Lord Jesus died for your sins and rose again 2,000 years ago. That is the proof that your sins are forgiven." My faith as a Christian is based not only on the real experiences I've had of God, but basically or fundamentally on the facts of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The Christian faith is based on historical reality, which then lead to spiritual experiences. Let's reread that, verses 3 to 8. Paul says this, What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. That means died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. God can and does do miracles to confirm the good news about Jesus. However, to an unbelieving world, we need to continually point to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. As Jesus said in Matthew 12, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." We read in Acts, "With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all." In fact, when Paul was preaching about Jesus, he preached about Jesus and Anastasis, or Anastasi, which is the Greek for resurrection. And people have misunderstood. He seems to be advocating foreign gods, because Paul was so keen on preaching Jesus and the resurrection, or Anastasi, he thought he was preaching about another God. Do you know, the evidence for the resurrection is indeed very impressive. As well as the 6 appearances in our passage, we have several historical accounts in the Gospels, including the couple on the road to Emmaus and Doubting Thomas. The appearance to the 500 is particularly noteworthy in our passage, as Paul adds the fact that most of these witnesses were still alive. Evidence for the reliability of 1 Corinthians is a document written during the lifetimes of many witnesses to the resurrection. Also, the charge that the resurrection of Jesus was merely a hallucination can hardly be true if 500 men and women saw him at the same time. That careful historian Dr. Luke, who wrote Luke's Gospel and Acts, said this: "After his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." There's also other evidence from non-scriptural sources of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Also, evidence of the birth and growth of the Church of Jesus, which, of course, today has spread around the world. May each one of us check out the evidence for that death, burial, and resurrection, and base our faith on this historical reality and share this with others. Secondly, let's think about the vital importance of that resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You might think, oh, does it really matter that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again? Certainly does. Read again verse 12 to 19. "If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is our faith. More than that, we're then found to be false witnesses about God. For we've testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not rise him, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Strong words indeed, isn't it? So there are many reasons why the resurrection of Christ is vital. Otherwise, our preaching and our faith is useless. Christ's resurrection is proof positive that God is alive and we are telling the truth. Otherwise, we Christians are liars. The New Testament is based on the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. And I am a liar, and indeed all us Christians are liars if it's not true. Otherwise, he's not raised from the dead. People are not raised to life again. There's no hope beyond the grave for you or me or anyone. Otherwise, our sins are not forgiven. The resurrection proves Christ's death is effective. It is our certain assurance that we are totally forgiven as we've turned from our sins and trusted Jesus dying on the cross to take the punishment for our sins. It is not wise, again, us Christians to be pitied. We've based our lives on a giant lie. But Jesus is alive. So we are telling the truth. Our faith is life-giving. Christians are raised to life again. We are totally forgiven. There is hope. We can live in a certain hope of eternal life. And one day, we will surely meet our Christian friends who died before us. Hallelujah. Thirdly, let's consider the nature of our resurrected bodies. Later in the chapter, and you've got a chance later to read 1 Corinthians 15, I recommend it to you. But verse 35 in our chapter, we read this: "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come?" How foolish. what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and each kind of seed he gives his own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. Verse 42. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. Isn't it great that for Christians, our bodies in heaven will be different to our earthly bodies? And I guess there's a few amens echoing around there. Our earthly bodies will one day die. Our earthly bodies are unreliable and maybe painful. Our earthly bodies are weak and natural. Praise God, our new bodies will be imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. To repeat verse 42, the body that is sown is perishable. It's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. And finally, the consequences for us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Look at the towards the end of our chapter, verse 50. This is what Paul says. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The Lord Jesus is returning for those who put their trust in him. Let us be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when we do not expect him. As Paul states at the end of a talk to the people in Athens, now God commands all people everywhere to repent. God commands people everywhere to repent. He has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Paul neatly provides us some of the other consequences of the resurrection in the last verses of this chapter, verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. As we live our lives in the certainty of the Lord Jesus' victory over death, may we praise God and live our lives claiming his victory over sin, Satan, and eventually death. May the certainty of the resurrection motivate us unto faithful and confident declaration of the crucified, buried, and resurrected Christ. To reread verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you so much for the certainty of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Help us, please, to live in the assurance of sins forgiven and boldly proclaim this message that Jesus has been defeated to all those around us. Amen. And if I may, I want you to add a little PS at the end. Why did I become a Christian? Four short points. One, because Christians around me had different lives. They knew God. They were friends, they were relatives. People around me knew God. And I wanted that, what that experience for myself. Secondly, I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and thought, who is this man, Jesus? And I came to the conclusion that he was the Son of God. Thirdly, as a scientist, I'm into facts. I'm into information. And I looked at the evidence for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it was that that converted my mind that Jesus is Lord. And finally, I had a real experience of God's Spirit, that God really is at work today. Please make up your own mind. Don't feel brainwashed. But look at the evidence. Jesus is alive.
Let's just have a moment to let these words sink in. Lord Jesus, you want us all to be sure of your presence, of your power, of your forgiveness, of your life. Now and forever. You want us to be sure of our eternal destiny. You want us to be sure that if we die tonight, we know we will be with you for eternity. You want us to be sure that those who we love, who have put their faith in Jesus, we will see again. Lord, we pray that you would open the eyes of everyone here who does not yet know that you are alive and that you are their life. They cannot breathe without you. They can't do anything without you. Bring them as you brought David, to look at the evidence, to encounter you, and to put their faith in you. To repent, to believe, to be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who assures us that we're God's children and who is a deposit guaranteeing us a place in heaven. Amen. If anybody here wants to know more about, okay, how do I become a Christian? How do I make that decision to follow Jesus? Talk to me, talk to David, talk to someone you know here and trust. There's some booklets, Why Jesus on the Table Outside. For every one of us here who has put their faith in Jesus, there was either a day or a period of time during which we did that and we made that decision. And if you also think, yes, I've made that decision, but I now need to publicly proclaim it through the waters of baptism, then again, speak to me. Because within our heart we believe and we're justified, and with our tongue we confess and we are saved. And there comes a time when we have to say out loud, I'm following Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Our song we're going to sing now does exactly that. It's a declaration, Jesus is King. This was a song that God put on Leslie's heart to sing as we were praying before the service. One of the people praying spoke out the words of one of the verses. I mentioned that just to encourage you that God does know what he's doing and he is speaking to us all the time. Feel free to sit or stand. David repeated at the end of his word to us. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You come to church on a Sunday to work. I don't know if you knew that. You might have thought, I came for a nice sit down. I came for a relaxing time. I came for a bit of rest and peace. Well, all of those are true. But we've also come to work. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That work is to pray. Jesus said that work is to believe in the one he sent. So our job is to believe in Jesus and to pray for others. And so we have work to do. I can see from this distance that the children have done their work. They've done a beautiful job from what I can see. I'm looking forward to seeing them in a moment. But this is our opportunity to work, to put our faith in Jesus and to pray. Certain of the things we've heard this morning may have impacted you. Those people who are not sure of where they're going. Those who are struggling to stand firm in what's going on. When we pray and we have these open prayers time, we have a few people who are bold to pray out loud and we can say amen. But all your prayers are heard. All your prayers count. If we have two or three praying at the same time, it doesn't matter. Because sometimes people at the back can't, people are praying at the front. That's fine. But let's just pray now. In whatever way the Holy Spirit leads you, that these words that we've heard today may transform lives. Lord, I pray you would help each one of us to stand firm on your word today. Amen.
Lord, we pray that we will be a witness to what you have done for us. Lord, may we stand firm and may other people see you reflected in us. Not for our sake, Lord, but for your sake. You died for each and every one of us, Lord. It's not for us to boast, but Lord, it's for us to tell others. So Lord, give us that opportunity, and may we take up that opportunity when you present it and you get us to tell other people the wonderful things you have done for us. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, very difficult times come. It's in our hearts to keep our eyes fixed on you. And to stand on the words and promises that you've given. So Jesus, I pray that you may keep our eyes firmly drilled towards you. There'll be no wavering, no wandering, no panicking. Because Jesus, you are Lord, and you've got it all.
Amen.
Lord, you are the light of our lives, and help us to continue to be that light to each and every person that we treat in the social world here and outside in your bigger world.
For our brothers and sisters who are persecuted for their faith, for whom standing firm is at great cost, Lord, we pray that you would help us to pray specifically for individuals, pray for countries, pray for governments. Help us to be involved. As you said, remember those in prison as though you yourself were in prison with them. Lord, forgive us if we are focused on our own comforts and having an easy life as Christians. Lord, you said that we would have trouble in this world, but you have overcome the world. And so, Lord, we pray for all those who today are waking up, worrying about what will happen to them because of their faith in you. Lord, I pray they will know you, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will never leave them, and you will enable them to stand firm, to be at peace in the midst of the storm. Amen. It would be good to see the drawings. Do you want to bring up whatever you've got? Come on up. Bring them this way. I know you're a bit shy, but bring them up, and then we can show the whole congregation. Thank you. I never know what's going to come when people have done drawings. Wow, this looks amazing. Thank you. Oh, can I have the handheld? You got the handheld mic, anybody? Madam, thank you. Leslie, you get it for me. Right. Oh, this. I'm just reading this. This looks great. I think you're going to enjoy this. This is a picture of heaven, isn't it? Yeah. Eric, would you like to tell me what your picture of heaven is? What were you written down here? Do you want to tell me?
Sweets everywhere, grape juice everywhere, going fishing, free weather playing.
Sweets everywhere, grape juice everywhere, going fishing, sleepover, playing. love surrounded by lots of people. Round of applause. That sounds good to me. Fantastic. Oh, that's great. Wonderful. Wonderful. So what we got here, this is another picture of heaven. Can I hold it up? Thank you very much. This is another picture of heaven. We're going to fly. That's going to come in the song we're going to do. But this is a song. Wow, fantastic, great, wonderful. Round of applause for Noah, please. Oh, this is good. A beautiful garden. Is this yours? Oh, excellent. Good man. Joining in with the kids, that's what we want. Absolutely. Fantastic. There's something beautiful about a garden, isn't there? Jesus, and of course, not another sermon, but isn't it wonderful that the first place that Adam and Eve were in? A garden. Jesus said, "Your will be done, not mine." He suffered in the garden. He rose and was seen in the garden. And if you look in the passages in Revelation, it's a garden. It's a garden city. Oh, it's great. Thank you. Wonderful. And lots. What, are these yours?
No, one of them is Noah's.
Noah's? Noah's here. Excellent. Which one's yours, Noah? That one, with your name on it. Good. So we have two gardens with Jesus coming out the tomb. Two gardens. Thank you very much. Round of applause for these two. And... oh, we've got... to tell us what we've got in heaven. What do you think we've got in heaven? Oh, that's all right. Don't worry. No problem. Move that back a bit. That's all right. What have you got in heaven?
Angels, God, kind people, trees, and suns.
Perfect. That sounds right to me. Kind people. Have we got any kind people again? Be in heaven? Yes? Hopefully. Well, they're a bit embarrassed now, aren't they? You're going to be in heaven and you're going to be kind. Do you know you're going to be no sin left? You're going to be perfectly kind. Miserable guts, gone. Miserable, gone. Grouchy, gone. Beautiful, happy, kind people. Yes! Who's looking forward to heaven? But not quite yet. Not quite yet. Thank you. Round of applause for all of our team here. Thank you. Do have a seat. Wonderful. Thank you, children, for bringing to life the words that David has given us. And grape juice everywhere. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? Because what did Jesus say? I'm not going to drink the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you in heaven. Jesus isn't going to drink grape juice until he drinks it with all of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Eric. Great. Please get excited about this song in a deep, reverent way. But do please get excited about this song. It's a song of faith. self-life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now may the God of peace, who brought the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.